Gordon Ramsay saying bullshit like this?
Doesn't sound anything like that. Maybe those are the things he says, but that is not how he sounds.
Okay. Well, sure. Feel free to watch sometime.
Why don't you just continue poo-poo on our guy parade?
I will. I mean, I'm already part of a guy parade, but just watching Trainspotting and talking about it.
It is a very guy movie.
It is a very boy movie.
Yeah.
Well, as luck would have it, I'm a boy.
What?
Yeah, he's a boy.
If I were a boy, I'd think Trainspotting was cool.
All right, we ready to start then?
I think so.
No, that was our cold open nonsense.
No, I think so. Hey everybody, welcome to Films Like the First Time. I'm Nick.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Dave.
The show where we watch at least one of ours movies that we've never seen before.
That was a very perfect terribly phrased.
That was as unsuccinct a way to say it.
The English language.
No, you remembered more of it, enough of it for that sentence. For
just
sure.
Enough. Well, I will tell you right away, the film today is Trainspotting, which I had not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Dave picked that for us to watch. The other two have both seen Trainspotting before.
Correct.
You did warn me that I would need subtitles.
It wasn't nearly as bad as
I remembered.
I would have been okay.
It's mostly just Spud.
No, even Spud was fine. Like, there were, actually it was, what's his name, Bagby? A couple
times.
Oh,
him too, yeah.
But for the most part, like, I put them on because you warned me to, so I did. Mm. And sometimes I like watching TV and movies with the subtitles on anyway. It just makes it easier for me for some reason. But I was fine.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't as bad as I remembered. I feel like my ear has gotten better since, you know, the 90s. I've gotten more used to hearing different accents and whatnot.
To be fair, the one part that I just struggle understanding is Spud for the job interview.
Yeah, but you're not supposed
but
to.
But that's
really
the thing,
yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I can just, this can be 90% gibberish and the effect is the same.
Right. I will say it was very interesting to see a movie with Obi-Wan Kenobi, Sherlock Holmes, and Jor Mormont.
Wait. Who was Sherlock Holmes?
Sick Boy.
No shit, Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, he was on the CBS show Elementary with Lucy
Liu.
Oh,
that's right.
He was Sherlock Holmes in that.
It was in America. That doesn't count.
I said A, Sherlock Holmes. I didn't say
it's on CBS, too, so that doesn't count for anything.
I know.
I don't know if that was a pre or post Angelina Jolie, Johnny Lee Miller.
Oh, it's post.
I think it's post.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that show was like in the last 10 years.
I meant him as Sick Boy.
Oh, this is just post, I think. Or maybe during. I'm not sure.
Because I think they got together during Hackers.
Because this is after Hackers.
This is after Hackers?
And Foxfire for your...
good old Foxfire.
I just thought of just some other movie where...
We've all seen Hackers, right?
I'd never watch the whole thing.
I have seen Hackers.
I like
my Fisher Stevens as an Indian man.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen this movie, and I kind of forgot... everyone that was in it. And I was like, oh, it's that guy and that guy and that guy.
Quite a cast. I mean, for what I thought was, at least going into it, a Scottish indie film.
It was.
Like, there's a lot of people who've done a lot of shit since.
But it was like a lot of people's big break, I think.
Yeah, including Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, well, this was his second movie with Danny Boyle.
Okay, I didn't know how many movies Danny Boyle had directed before this.
I think just the one.
What was the one before this?
Shallow Grave.
Okay. I'm going to get to Danny Boyle in a sec because I have a note about Danny
Boyle. Warn yourself, Danny.
I'm coming for you, Danny.
Are you Guy Fieri cutting a promo right now?
Taking you to Flavor Town, Danny Boyle.
As I was watching this, and I knew what it was about, but as I was watching this, I was just like, the title of this movie should have just been Drugs Are Bad and Kind.
Yeah, actually, but sometimes drugs are good.
I'm going to say...
No, they were bad for everyone in this movie.
I'm
going to
say that maybe the title should have been Friends Are Bad, okay?
Yeah.
I think
Friends on Drugs Are Bad,
I think
okay?
the theme of this movie is... Obviously, heroin is a huge factor in this film. But that the people that you call your friends are not your friends in this movie. any of them. Well,
everyone
maybe
made
Spud.
Terrible decisions the entire time. Yeah. It was hard for me to feel sympathetic. As many like really bad things as ended up happening to people, it was hard for me to feel sympathetic because I'm like, these are idiots making horrible choices over and over again.
I feel sympathetic for maybe 2-3 people in this movie at different points.
The infant.
Well, we're going to get to that baby. Oh, we are getting to that baby.
I should hope. That's the first time you got to experience that, because those of us that watched this back when it came out, it's been ingrained in our memories for the last 25 years.
You see what's coming with it. Because
but it's not the same. You don't know exactly what it is.
We will get to that. I don't want to talk about it until we get there, because it is fucking brutal. Movie opens, opening credits, and I go, oh, Miramax. Well, that didn't age well.
To be fair, Miramax just purchased it.
Fair
they didn't
enough.
Make it.
But it reminds me of how many great movies were Miramax, and now half of them are gone.
Like
or
all the like the only good Kevin Smith movies were Miramax.
Yep, the only good Kevin Smith movies. I saw him talking about casting Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill for Jane, Silent Bob, and the story about Carrie Fisher and how she wanted to be paid for that movie. Did you hear about? Have you heard this?
The story about that I heard was Carrie Fisher was constantly having to tell Jay to stop hitting on her.
That doesn't surprise me at all. No, so apparently she told Kevin Smith she'd do the movie, but they had to buy her these two antique beaver skin chairs for her to do it as her pay. And so they did.
I did hear that.
And then afterwards she goes, well, with the character I played, I figured beaver skin chairs would be appropriate.
I don't know what you're talking about, so.
Just a reminder, Carrie Fisher was a very sharp mind.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she was a goddamn treasure.
So anyway, Miramax. And then the next thing we see is this opening with Ewan McGregor running to Lust for Life by Iggy and the Stooges, which, hell yeah, I'm like, great song choice.
It's not the Stooges.
Just Iggy?
It's right. It's the first thing,
he did
or
right
no,
after
second
the Stooges.
Album after he.
Okay. Yeah. Apologies for
this. And this is with Bowie.
That's right. Okay. Great song. Great opening. And I'm already like, the visuals in this movie are fantastic. And that's kind of a note I have throughout this whole thing. Like, and I haven't watched a ton of Danny Boyle films, but he's very good visually. And
28 Days Later?
Slumdog Millionaire.
And that's the thing. They're all a lot of the. Shallow Grave is a very different kind of movie than this, too. But. All of his films are generally all have their own personalities and they're very distinct looking.
Yeah. I will also say that not only the visuals in this movie are great, the practical effects are fantastic. Just really surprising. And like, they're not, you can tell they're not CG. It's all practical effects and it's so well done. My note from one of the lines from the opening is he says, who needs reasons when you've got heroin? And I just quote it as junkie one Kenobi.
But has there ever been, I mean, this is almost Hard Day's Night. Like,
I can see that.
But if there was ever sort of a visual, audible, and then the voiceover, like, this is a movie that has no real mission, but this is its mission statement,
which is that I just don't want to live that normal everyday life.
Like,
I
this
want to
is
enjoy
yeah, it's like a clarion call.
Well, and what's nice, and we'll obviously get to it eventually, but like the book ending of this, it's a nice touch.
I mean, the song's a perfect choice.
It's the perfect choice.
I mean,
for
the drums. I mean, it. Iggy asking if you ever had it in the ear before. That's basically like, well, this is what you're in for.
Right. So then we get into kind of the introduction of the rogues gallery at the heroin den. And we see the one woman who they don't say her name very often, so I can't remember. It was like Nancy or something.
Was the mother?
The baby's mother, yeah. Because she's the one that he's about to inject as we cut to that scene.
I don't remember.
They don't really. They
well,
don't,
we. Well,
yeah.
she.
They kind of use her as a device.
Yeah, she kind of disappears anyway. So
yeah.
Most of the female characters in this movie are inconsequential.
They're divisive
as well as adult characters, like people who, you know.
Well, the parents.
Right.
Yeah. They should. I mean, older than Begbie.
Anyone older than Begbie doesn't matter.
Yeah. But she says a line as he's injected, as she gets injected, and she goes, "That beats any meat injection." And I just died laughing at that. I'm like, that is some great wordplay right there. And then we see for the first time the baby walking around looking happy as fuck. And I'm just like, immediately, like, oh, fuck. A baby and a heroin den. Great.
He's such this a cute little baby, well. Too.
It is an adorable, very happy baby. And then we get, you know, the introduction of all the people, Sick Boy and Spud and them.
Bigby.
Yeah, I do like the classic sort of like Mod Squad reveals.
And then he goes, "I'm getting clean." And then he's like, "I'm going to do it the Sick Boy method." I'm like, because it worked out so well for him.
Yeah.
And so he nails himself into his own place. And he goes through his list of supplies. He's like soup and, you know,
tomato soup. To be served hot, cream of mushroom to be served cold.
And then he goes, and pornography. And
of course.
Of course.
Idle hands are the devil's work.
He realizes immediately that he needs something to take the edge off to start with, at least.
Of course.
And so he meets some dumb fuck. I can't remember his name.
Mikey Forrester.
And gets opium suppositories and puts them in right there in front of him.
The guy get the line, because the line's the best.
Which line is that?
Right when he takes him, he shoves him up.
Might as well have stuck him up my ass. Yeah, I have that in my notes.
For all the good they done me, may as well have stuck him up my ass.
He's walking back home and he goes, "Well, not constipated anymore." He goes into this like betting bar, and they give you a sign of the worst toilet.
It says like the worst toilet.
He says the worst toilet in Scotland.
And you walk in, and
it is the worst toilet.
Danny Boyle did not go took every length to make this the worst visual bathroom I have seen. And this is where I come into notes with Danny Boyle, because you haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire.
No,
you have.
Yep.
And I'm like, holy fuck, Danny Boyle has a thing for shit.
My husband and I watched Saw last night, and that bathroom was cleaner than this bathroom in Scotland. Yeah,
but, like, seriously.
Well, they had to make sure that there's not any realistic chance that you could possibly not get shit on you by using it.
He also makes sure later into this scene that there is no chance that he does not get shit on
you.
Realistically, though, as a human person, if I had walked into that bathroom, even if it had been an emergency, I would have walked straight back out and gone to an alley. Like, I would rather go behind a dumpster.
Oh, I might have just walked right out the door and just shat in front of the bathroom.
I would just shat myself and walked home. I love that immediately he tries to flush his toilet and the chain pull breaks off. Yeah. I'm like, that's great. And of course, he realizes after he evacuates himself, the suppositories, they are not in me anymore.
Yep.
And then we got this shot of him going all the way into the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first of like these really magnificent
and then
practical
going for
effects
a beautiful swim
in very clear water.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's just too murky. You can't see anything.
It reminds me of some of the hallucination stuff in The Big Lebowski a little bit, which I think is after this movie.
Yes.
But kind of that same idea of like all of a sudden, like we're going from real life and all of a sudden we're into like this weird magical.
Well, the thing toilet happening. Being the portal.
Oh, portal.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets his suppositories back.
A sentence you thought you'd never say.
Right. And then he reveals that not only is he getting clean, but so is Sick Boy, just to spite him for the most part, just to annoy him. And then we get this scene. I actually really enjoy this scene where they're laying on the lawn in this park with an air rifle. And we start off and we just hear Sick Boy ranting on. And it's kind of a continuation of his rant from the heroin den, because he's talking about basically Sean Connery at this point. But he was talking about James Bond before, and he's talking about people like, you know, going beyond their prime and not being as good as they used to be. And he mentions and then Ewan McGregor's like, "Well, what about the Untouchables?" And he's like, "The Untouchables? Oh, because it got an Oscar?" And I'm like, "It's right. Untouchables is not that great of a movie." But I just really I mean, for that era, it's
pretty darn good.
I don't know.
I'd have to see what the other nominees are for that year.
I think...
We don't need to do this right now.
Yeah, I just... Not my favorite director.
Oh, no, mine either.
Yeah.
I just happen to enjoy
it. I think Connery was good in The Untouchables.
Yeah, Costner sort of drags it a little bit. Because he's just very out of place.
Well, that's a lot of times with Kevin Costner. Yeah.
This hillbilly, what's he doing in Chicago?
And then they both do a Connery impersonation because everyone has a Connery. It's just the truth.
And then mine's from I'm Not Rappaport.
Mine is just,
just kidding.
We named the dog Indiana.
I've actually never seen I'm Not Rappaport. I've seen Michael Rappaport.
So then, of course, he shoots the dog in the ass, and the dog attacks Spud.
No.
Wasn't it Spud?
No, it was just some random guy.
I thought it was Spud.
No, they were just spying on some random dude.
Yeah,
because
they were too far away for the dog to attack him. So right. The dog just launched it.
No, she whoever just, was no, near he thought the guy laying on the blanket was Spud.
Yeah.
Oh, like, no.
No, that's just some dude.
Maybe he just looked like him.
You think somebody would entrust Spud with a dog?
Look, all Scots look alike to me.
Well,
wow.
To be fair, you weren't really meant to recognize him. It's not like, oh, is that...
I just thought it was funny because I thought
they were pranking Hugh Dawsey over there?
I thought they were pranking their friend. But either way, it doesn't matter.
No, they're just dicks.
Well, that was my note. They are such dicks.
That's why I made a comment about how I didn't really sympathize with most of these characters because they were just not good people.
So then we get the scene that you mentioned about Spud. So he gives Spud some speed before his job interview. So he doesn't get to... So because the idea is you want to keep on the dole, right? You want to still be on unemployment, but you don't want to get a job.
But so you have to do these interviews in order to keep your benefits.
And so he gives him speed before the job interview.
Didn't I just write that into a play recently?
Plagiarist.
I mean, kind of.
Because it's true.
We get this weird, very fast Spud rant. I just put this job interview is going swimmingly. And then at the end, he tries to reach in and kiss the guy that he's interviewing. And that's kind of Spud kisses Sick Boy earlier in the movie at the heroin den. So it's
full on kiss.
Yeah, full on kiss. That interview went well. And then we meet, we already met Begbie, but we get a little bit more of Begbie as we're sitting at the upstairs part of the bar.
Yeah, this is where you really learn who Begbie is.
What a shit. He just throws his glass beer stein over the rail, not giving a fuck. Apparently it hits a woman in the...
Yep. Some poor innocent girl.
And then he goes down and he's like, let's find who did this and beat the shit out of him. And the guy's like, who are you? And he just kicks him in the crotch. And I just put, best start to a bar fight ever? It's just wild.
I love the complete in earnest. let's find this dastard.
Just anything to start shit. He's insane. And to be fair, I think one of the things that this movie does well is they take this first half of the movie and they show you how terrible all of these people are, but in a way that makes you laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, later on,
you kind of feel... Well, they're entertaining as long as you don't have to actually deal with them.
Right. Well, and I think that's the point.
I know those people.
I think that's the point here is, we, along with Ewan McGregor's character, are experiencing it that way, right? This is the phase where, oh, yeah, they're assholes, they're pieces of shit, but they're fun, and, I can laugh with them.
I feel like this is how a lot of guy groups are, and maybe girl groups, too, but especially guy groups. Oh, I've known these... bastards, since second grade. It doesn't matter that they're complete pieces of shit. They're my mates.
I don't think Rent. I don't even to this point. Because we're meant to identify with him, but I don't think that Mark is that big of a dick. In fact, I actually don't think he meant to shoot the dog. I think he meant to shoot the guy.
Oh, I think Mark meant to shoot the dog.
Well, that doesn't make him less of a dick just because he meant to shoot a person.
I will say Mark is by far the least. Dickish of them.
It's hard to say. Spud's not really a dick. He's just a hapless boob.
Yeah, Spud's not a dick. He's just Spud.
An idiot.
Yeah. He's the Shaggy of the group.
No, Shaggy has way more. Shaggy has more agency than Spud.
That's fair. That is fair. So then we get this scene with Mark and what's his name? It's not Jimmy. It's something E.
What are you talking about?
The sports guy that he's looking through his VHS tapes.
I don't know. Oh, Tommy?
Tommy thank there you. Go. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the sports themselves. I'm like, I don't know who's soccer players. What are you talking
at Tommy's
about?
Place and they're talking. He's looking through the tapes. And
Kitten Tommy.
Fucking poor Tommy. And like you see him like pick up a movie about sports, and then he picks up another one and it just says Tommy and whatever her
all
name
of his
was.
Videos just said sports.
Sports.
Football.
Basketball.
And he only listened to Huey Lewis's album Sports.
I kind of knew he switched the tapes. But then, yeah, we see them watching the homemade sex tape. And I'm like, dude, you're watching your buddy.
Yeah, that's the most fucked up thing to date.
I was watching his buddy, but also watching it with, like, mostly disinterest. Just like, huh.
It's like critiquing.
That's what this is. All right.
We knew what it was. Like,
I was hoping he might have taped a new game over this or something.
So then we get them at the club, and he sees all his buddies either like making out with a woman or hitting on women. He goes, I realize there's something missing from my life.
Yep.
I'm just like, what? Come on.
Well, as he's the narrator, being honest.
Yeah. And apparently, heroin is better than any orgasm, so he hasn't really thought about that for a while.
Multiply it by 1,000.
So we get kind of the situation with kind of a couple of the relationships. Spud's girlfriend is refusing to have sex with him just because it bothers him. And Tommy's girlfriend is mad at him because he forgot her birthday, or was it their anniversary? Something. It's an important date. And then
it was something like that. Our sister's wedding.
And then he goes, well, I got a ticket to go see Iggy Pop anyway. she said it's either me or Iggy Pop, and he goes, well, I've already paid for the tickets.
To be fair, Iggy Pop, and I didn't see him until more than 10 years after this movie. He's still the best front man I've ever seen.
We saw Iggy Pop together.
That was the second time I saw him, and it was, I don't know, maybe, 4 or 5 years later? Still amazing.
You won't hear me slandering Iggy Pop, but it's just funny. the relationship. Right.
Kind of guys these guys are. Like, what?
And then we get back to Mark standing there, and he's like, it's interesting how people, like, kind of separate into those groups of, like, the ones that are with somebody and those aren't, and then it just shows, like, all those guys nodding together, looking out at everybody else on the dance floor. Mm. And I thought that was just a wonderful shot. And then, of course, we get the girl shot. Right. There's the underage girl.
Well, we don't know she's underage.
And she very much doesn't seem underage when
you meet her. No, not at all.
Because she is maybe the most strong, got their shit together character in this entire film.
Oh, yeah.
She's the only one that has her shit together.
Right. Despite the fact that she trolls for older guys at clubs before, you know, going to school the next day.
Yeah, well, that's because they're older guys, and clearly anyone anywhere near her age is a fucking idiot.
And I kind of fell in love with her in this scene too, because like I think it was the point where the other guy shows up to hit on her and brings drinks,
and she drinks both of them.
And she just drinks both of them and walks away, and I'm like, perfect, she's the best.
You mean so you fell in love with her the same as Renton did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the exact
same. Yeah.
Yes.
And then he comes up to her and she just fully blows up his spot and like calls him out for everything that he is, and I'm like, this is wonderful. And then of course she's like, I'm getting in the taxi, and then the taxi's just sitting there, and the taxi driver's like, you coming? And he's like, oh okay. And then we get this like montage of, I'm gonna put in quotes, sex scenes.
Yes.
Because one of them, Spud, is completely out. She's like, Spud, we're supposed to be having sex.
Yeah, I'm finally going to give it to you tonight, and you're completely unconscious.
Yep. And then the other scene other than Mark's is Tommy and his girlfriend putting on the tape.
And he realizes it's not in there.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I returned it back to the video shop. That was you returned it to the video shop? So that kills the mood for them.
So I'm watching this. I'm going to tell you right now, at this earlier in the movie, but at this point, I'm like, I didn't realize this movie was just like a straight up comedy, but like up until this point, it is very much just a straight up comedy. Like it's for the most part, so ridiculous. Yeah. And then
something it's absurdity.
Something that bothered me when I watched this initially in my early 20s, and now that I'm probably closer to the age of the parents in this movie.
Probably.
What are these young girls? Look.
I'm just being real.
Oh, shit.
All of us are.
What are these young girls? How are they bringing home boys to their parents' house and banging them?
Well, okay, so.
Like, what are mom and dad doing that they talk don't about hear this dumb, or don't care?
Dumb Mark is. When she comes, when they come into her house and she's like, oh, be quiet. Like, yeah. And then.
He probably thought she had roommates or something.
I kind of was immediately like. Parents?
Well, but then
I didn't think she was underage and living with her parents. I thought she was like, you know, in her 20s living with
but
her parents.
But then they have a great time.
Yeah.
And then she tells him he has to go and kicks him out of her bedroom completely naked. And yeah. She's like, you can sleep on the couch or the hallway or go home.
There was zero time. Like, completion, get out.
Yep.
It wasn't like, give me a second to catch my breath. Oh, let's cuddle for a second. It was, you done? Okay, go.
And, but then she doesn't actually like get him, that's what I mean, out. She pushes him in the hallway completely naked, and then she's like, you can sleep on the couch if you want, or you can go home. So at that point, I would have gone home because I would have been like, that was weird. Yeah, I don't want to be here anymore.
He's fucked up. I get it. Like,
so he opts to sleep on the couch, which obviously, like, her parents knew because when he goes down to the kitchen the next day, he's like, oh, are you her flatmates? And like, flatmates, yeah, okay. What, are you a friend of hers? And then she, you know, walks in her school uniform.
Look, this is not the movie of responsible parents.
No.
Responsible anything.
I would say Mark's parents find responsibility during this film. But
well, at least the other girl's parents, like, know that he's her boyfriend and that he stayed the night and whatever.
Let's talk about that, because when Spud wakes up.
The last time I saw that scene, by the way, was on an airplane. Somebody was watching it on their laptop. And oh, I was like, oh, they're watching Trainspotting. Oh, it's this scene.
Oh, they're watching Trainspotting.
And I remember that started to happen and like the stewardess coming by and that guy just slamming his laptop closed.
And maybe I was just being dumb at the moment. When he first checks his blanket, I didn't realize he had shat himself. I'm like,
I don't think anyone knows
what
that
happened?
The first time.
Like, because it's like directly over, the wet spot in the blanket is directly over his junk. And I'm like, what is wrong? What happened to Spud?
When I first saw it, I definitely thought that he had a wet dream or something.
Yeah. And then the awkwardness of him coming down with the blanket and the girl's parents having a full English with beans and everything. Mm-hmm. And him just looking at it. And then I think it was when he looked at the beans when I'm like, oh, he shit the bed.
Like, you didn't get it when he stuck his hand down and pulled his hand out.
My brain was not functioning
properly.
Covered
in shit. He smelled it, almost vomited.
Danny Boyle got me with shit earlier in the movie. I figured.
You didn't think he's not going to go for seconds, is he?
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to go a double fecal in one film.
Yeah, well.
And then the tug of war.
But don't these things usually come in threes?
Shits.
Bits.
Oh, the tug of war shit was bit. Just, oh my, just let him put the blanket in the wash. Just let him put it in the wash.
That was always weird to me, too. Like, him, no one making any sense. Like, if I was him, A, I would have just fucking left. I would have snuck out. I would not have walked into the room and been like, hi, I'm going to go now. And
oh, I would have taken the blanket.
Well, he's already got a relationship with these people, so I think that's why.
But he had a blanket full of shit.
I would not have brought it with me to the door if I was going to say goodbye, but I'm taking that blanket with me and I'll call you later.
Oh, I understand why he took the blanket with him, but then the mom's reaction of, I'll wash it, and him being like, no, I'll wash it. Like, she, she had to know, like, why.
She was just too nice.
No, she was, but they're my sheets.
Well, eventually.
Either that or she's like, no, now I really want to know what the fuck you
did. At the very least, I would have thought she would have thought, okay, he and my daughter did something in the sheets that he doesn't want me to see, and he's going to take it and wash it. I will just not embarrass them.
Well, he said but I had no. an accident. He literally said did. I had an accident.
You know what? I actually missed that the first time I watched it, where he literally said I had an accident.
Spud is nothing if not
and
honest.
And she's like, oh, it happens, dearie.
Does.
Also, by the way, Blanket Full of Sheets is probably the name of the lost Sergio Leone film.
It is. It has happened to people that I've known.
So then, because we kept going back and forth, we get back to Mark and breakfast with the family, and then Diane comes out in her school uniform, and that's mm-hmm. when he's like, oh. Oh, man. And then she immediately, as they're leaving, he's like, well, this is not happening again. She goes, oh, yeah, it is. And he's like, no. And she's like, you liked it? And he's like, yeah, before I knew. And she goes, well, if you don't do it again, I'm going to tell everybody you did it.
Yep.
And I'm like, damn.
Oddly, I feel like she's done this before.
I also find it, definitely. I also find it interesting, again, something that I noticed the first time that I saw this movie. So my best friend in high school loved this movie. That's the only reason I've seen it and The Big Lebowski. And he had the Trainspotting poster in his room. And Diane's on the poster as if she's a main character when she's only in the movie for like less than 5 minutes.
No, I would give her, I'd say she's in there probably 12, 13 minutes.
I bet she has about 5 minutes of screen time. Said 12 of actual screen time.
Yeah, somewhere in 12 to 15.
No, I doubt it.
You get to see her boobs. You also see her at the club. You see the morning after, and then you get the letter scene later on.
Yeah, she gets I mean, she doesn't get a story arc.
I bet she's actually physically on screen for less than 5 minutes, even though she seems like a big part of the movie. I don't know how you would even Google that, but.
I'm sure there are people that track screen time.
Kind of like how you easily find out how many lines in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that Margot Robbie had.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, there are
like five.
There are definitely statistics out there where they talk about, like, I've read articles talking about, like, different actors that have won, like, best supporting actor or actress for a role where they literally had, like, 6 minutes of screen time.
Oh, yeah, they do that sometimes.
Well, they do that. I know they do that a lot in TV.
Even though it seems like they were on screen way more than that, and they just weren't.
It's just that they did something memorable. Yes.
Joe Flaherty, therefore, was robbed for
Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore, and Who's Harry Crumb?
And Stripes.
I don't know. Stripes, you had a bunch of nominees you could have gone with.
But he was great. Let's R.I.P. Joe Flaherty. Yeah. Fucking phenomenal.
Didn't know when I was ever going to get to say his name on this show, so...
fair enough.
There it is. You're actually looking this up.
I'm Googling it. I don't, move on.
Don't know how they're going to do Happy Gilmore 2 without Carl Weathers or Joe Flaherty.
Badly.
Fair enough.
Moving on.
We finally see a train.
Yes. It's weird that I didn't realize that there's kind of a shot that almost is that thumbnail I created for this.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm like, I literally just found some free, royalty-free train thing and threw a dude back there. I'm like, wait a minute. Literally is what happened.
So they get off this train and they're like, what are we doing? And Tommy's like, oh, we're walking over there. And I'm just like, oh, great. A bunch of junkies go on a hike. And they make it about 5 feet and they're like, we're done.
Yeah, that's like how my friends hike. And they're not junkies. Lazy.
Right? Well, I know not to hike.
And we get this rant from Ewan McGregor about people like wanting to do shit. And like,
well, it's just the inferiority complex that he adopts for all of Scotland.
Right. And he talks about Scotland sucking and then being like, look, not only were we colonized, but we on the other talk about.
No, you're talking about the British and how they suck. And they're like, they're just wankers.
But we were colonized by wankers.
Colonized by wankers was such a great line, and I just always love the use of the word wankers. But
sure,
such a great, great line. And this is the moment where they decide, you know what? Clean living is not for us. Let's get back on H. Because why not?
Why not?
And Tommy's like, you know what? My girlfriend broke up with me. I want to try heroin too. And I'm like, oh, Tommy, don't do that.
That was so emotionless.
Oh, Tommy, well, you don't do that.
Like Tommy, but you also don't want anyone to get
Tommy seems like on like smack. He at least at that point
seemed the most normal.
Would have been like the stand-up friend.
Yeah.
Because at least he's not.
Yeah, he's a douchebag, but he's not a piece of shit.
And he's not thieving. Or,
he's not a drug addict, and he's not Begbie.
Yeah.
He's not a psycho or a thief. He's got that going for him.
Yeah, he's just a bit of a douche.
Actually just kind of a typical 20-year-old guy, to be honest.
He's a bro.
And we get some more of Sick Boy talking about James Bond. Talking about Bond girls, and then he pulls heroin out of the heel of his shoe. I'm like, wow, that's some
James Bond shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then the baby shows up again, and I'm like, this baby thing is unhinged. Like the baby's just like, everybody's like, grr, and baby's like, just laughing and crawling around.
You're
like,
aware this is just an audio medium, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, that little dance isn't going to show up anywhere.
Yeah, but I need it to. Now to I'm not going to be able to feel sleep. The baby.
I mean, nobody can see me looking back and forth between the two of you like it's a tennis match either. But I'm still entertaining myself by doing it.
And we get this vignette of them finding
that's
ways.
A low bar for entertainment. By
finding ways to make money.
While I'm with you.
Make money to buy more heroin, including mugging a guy who's there on the first day of the Edmonton Fringe.
Oh,
he's like, hi guys, can I just use the bathroom? And then they jump him in the bathroom, which I just thought was funny. And then the movie turns.
Well, drugs are only fun until they're not.
Right.
They never ever, they always, people do them because they start out fun.
Yeah.
Until they're not.
So... As soon as...
Yeah, this film goes full Robert Downey Jr. right now.
Yep.
As soon as she starts screaming, I'm like, fucking baby's dead. I'm like, obviously. I'm like, we all knew it was coming. There's no way you're going to have a baby walking, crawling around with all those needles around and not, you know, kid get dosed. The fact that Danny Boyle decided to show us a dead baby corpse was wild.
An actual dead baby corpse?
No, but it
well,
was
I'm like,
realistic
what the fuck?
Enough.
He, like, you're...
Yeah, but usually when you see when they,
I'm
they
like,
talk
I
about
understand
child
it.
Child
like
death a... is usually taken very carefully.
This is about the horrors of.
I get that, I'm just saying for this movie that has so far been like very like oh they're on drugs, ha 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 ha.
This was
then all of a sudden it's like dead baby in your face.
This was before the era of trigger warnings.
Yes,
too,
that's so. Fair.
Well, also you know it's meant to be unflinching.
I get that. I'm not saying it like I was just
you're
surprised.
Just surprised. Okay.
Like that, like and it like really looked dead. Like it was like ashy
it was all
looking.
Blue.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was a good whistle or a bad whistle.
It was a whistle. That's all I can say about it. So then they're like, well, we can't take this. Let's all get high.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fucking A.
Well, yeah, the mom's having a mental breakdown, and they're like, how about we just inject you with some heroin so you can calm down?
Yeah, well, but he injected himself before he injected her.
Well, yeah, well, he says
those
it,
are the rules.
Too. He's
yeah,
like, yeah.
Those are the rules.
We all decide, as this baby is dying, died literally from what we're doing right now, let's all just do it again.
Just double down on it.
Yeah.
And we get this whole...
Well, not doing it's not going to make it any better.
This whole downward spiral, them
but
robbing
but it didn't sober anybody
more.
Up either.
Right.
No, but I'm just...
Nobody
got...
That wasn't even a rock bottom for everyone or
no.
anyone. They were like,
no.
never again.
No, but that's the nature of it. It's... Something horrible happens as a result. Well, I can't fix that now. The only thing that's going to make it any better is more drugs. And something else shitty happens.
Right.
And
it's a downward spiral.
That's yeah.
To the point where they're getting chased by the cops. They almost get hit by a car. And we get this shot of completely unhinged Mark just over the hood, laughing over the hood of the car. And then getting jumped by the cop.
Well, that takes us back to the opening.
Yeah, Yeah, because we see that shot earlier, but now we get the end product of
We get the context. Because I don't even think we... Do we see the cops in the opening?
Mm-mm. No.
I didn't think so. He's just running. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then we've got Spud. Poor Spud gets jail time. Gets 6 months. And for Mark, they're like, well, you're gonna do rehab, so it's the suspended sentence. I'm like, wow, that's just fucking crazy. But then he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I'll get through this with the help of God. And the judge just looks at him like, shut the fuck up. It was just such a great look that he gave him. And then we get this moment that really shows us just how fucking shitty some people are. Like, Spud's mom is in the bar when they're sitting there drinking after the thing and just gets blasted by people. I'm like, her son is going to prison and you're yelling at her. You know, like, let her, you know.
Process and grieve.
Well, she sort of walks in the middle of what they're doing, I think, right?
Yeah, but it's not like she was being a dick or anything. She just walked in.
Well,
no, but keep in mind,
that's what happens,
it's
though.
It's also, isn't it Begbie who gets, yeah, so.
Everything is the mother's fault. So don't
worry,
know this, right?
So don't worry about it being rational.
No, it's, you know, just really shitty.
Because it's Begbie.
Like, if you didn't already dislike Begbie, at this point you're like, what the fuck, dude?
Look at me, a tough cunt.
And then, Mark's like, well, I took all my methadone in one dose instead of the three across the day. I need something. Just one more hit. Sure.
Of course.
And then he fucking ODs on it.
I like the little patter beforehand.
Yeah.
With the let me show you to your table.
Well, and what's interesting is it, like, the visual of the, like, him taking the hit and, like, it drops him into what basically is a grave, and the visual of that and the practical effects again with that was fantastic. And then we get, like, I'm like, is he ODing? Because then we get the ambulance siren and the ambulance in coming through town, and he's like, oh, he's ODing. And then, no, he's getting put into a cab, so you're like, oh, maybe he's just being sent home, but then the cab drops him off at the hospital, and you're like, oh, it is an OD. Okay. Like, it's such a back and forth.
Well, yeah, Sick Boy called the cab and then put him in the cab and then left.
Not Sick Boy.
No, Mother Superior.
Mother Superior, yeah.
And that visual with Lou Reed playing over it, where he's dragged in a rug, and mind you, I guess this would have been right after Pulp. I don't know if I'd seen Pulp Fiction yet. So
I've read around the same time.
So I don't know that I, because I didn't see Pulp Fiction in the theater. I saw this in the theater.
Oh, really?
So I think this would have been the first time I'd ever seen an OD on screen, or, you know,
That's fair.
So the idea that, like, oh, it, like, it just, like, I'm thinking he's dead and this is it.
Oh, yeah. I can see what you mean.
And I'm like, wow. Like, if that cab just drives off and then cuts to black, well, like, that wouldn't have surprised me.
Right.
I would have been like, what the fuck?
okay.
Like, that was a choice.
So somehow he still, even though he OD'd after being on what's basically, what you call it? Not parole, the other term. Whatever, like, he was told that if he gets in trouble again, he's going to jail.
Probation, that's the word I was looking for.
Thank you. He still gets to stay free. Well, free in the sense that he's locked into his childhood bedroom by his parents to get him clean. With the one exception of he has to go get a blood test. And the irony of him complaining about the pain of her injecting the needle for the blood work is just like, wow, shut up, dude.
Well, he was getting tested for HIV, right?
Tested for HIV, which I didn't, for some reason, I didn't even think about HIV until this point in the movie. And then, like, he's having those hallucinations, and his parents are on the game show where they're asking questions about HIV.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Or we see Tommy's scabby face.
Yeah, and the baby on the ceiling.
That's the vision. That's the actually, not weirdly, not the baby in the crib, but the baby on the ceiling hallucination is what everyone remembers. Well,
it looks like a Lewis Carroll.
Because at
LSD
the time,
trip.
It was horrifying to all of us. We were like, "What
I mean,
is this?
Who needs Lionel Richie when you have a baby on the ceiling?"
Like, I think I'm exactly the right. I was when I saw this movie, I was exactly the right age to be watching.
And you can tell that it's on a track, but it's still a great visual.
Yeah.
Well, and the way its head turns around too,
and the arms move equally as freaky. The head turn. I'm like, okay, exorcism here, great. And then the face is like, oof. The face on the baby when it turns its head around is.
But it's still smiling.
Yeah, because it was a happy baby.
It was a happy, cute baby.
We find out that he's lucky. He isn't. He's negative, but Tommy is not. And so when he visits Tommy after he's gotten clean, Tommy's place is a disaster. And like it's like a gut punch. And then Diane shows up here because she wants to make sure he doesn't have AIDS.
Just checking in.
And I just put, I guess they're back to fucking, which is well, they have this argument, and she says something about Ziggy Pop, and I'm like, oh, and then she goes, he's
that hurt
dead.
Me, that hurt me retroactively. It didn't hurt me.
She goes, he's when I dead. First saw it. She goes, he's dead anyway. And he's like, Iggy Pop is
no,
not
he's
dead.
Not.
Which is funny because this movie is like almost 20 years old.
And somehow Iggy Pop is still
and
alive.
Iggy Pop still is still alive.
There are certain rock stars that should have been dead decades ago that are still alive. Yeah. Iggy Pop,
any of the Rolling Stones.
Mostly Keith,
but even Mick. Like, it's wild. And then we find out that Mark is really changing. Like, he's like, I'm getting out of here. He goes to London, starts working as a real estate agent.
Well, Diane tells him, she's like,
yeah,
you need to find something.
Yeah.
Figure out what you want to do with your life. Right. And he's like, you know what? You're right.
And, like, he's talking about it. And
he's so easily
influenced.
Yeah.
What he says about this life that he's now living as a real estate agent in London, and he goes, I was almost content.
I mean,
like, that's fair. And we get the letter from Diane, and she's like, dear Mark, I'm not pregnant. But Begbie decided to do an armed robbery, and he's on the run. And of course, next thing we know, Begbie's at his fucking place.
As he's reading the letter, door knocks, and then he's like, oh, shit.
But that's my favorite thing, is that, like, he's reading it. It says Francis Begbie in the letter. There's some more. And then all of a sudden, there's the knock. And then he looks back at it, Francis Begbie, in her voice again. I'm like, oh, that's such a cool touch.
That was, I think the coolest thing was the pile of cigarette cartons that pile up in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Because Begbie can't clean up after him fucking self. Then they, what is it? Begbie gets some money somehow. I can't remember how. Off the top of my head.
I think it was at the track or something.
Yeah, he bet on a horse. That's right. And so they go to the club, and Begbie's like just dancing. Mark is sitting there watching everybody, just having a good time. And Begbie leaves with a girl. And Mark says something about, in a thousand years, there'll be no guys, no girls, just wankers. And then they cut back to Mark in the car making out with a girl. I'm like, oh.
You mean Begbie.
Begbie, sorry. And I'm like, oh. And of course, Begbie has a very unhappy reaction. But I think it's funny because this movie is very, other than Begbie, everybody in this movie is fairly chill.
It's a pretty progressive thing.
Yeah, with LGBTQ stuff, right? Like, even Mark's like, whatever. I don't care. Guys, girls, whatever. As long as you're happy.
Well,
right?
Then, after Begbie has his reaction and, like, you know, freaks out and whatever and runs away, which I am glad, considering how Begbie is, that all he did was go, oh, fucking,
there could have been a hate
away.
Crime there.
Yeah,
there could
I'm
have
glad
literally
that
been a hate crime
there.
Where we see the one thing that is stronger than his anger, and that's his shame.
Yeah. I guess. Or just
fear of being, that just cuts through his entire thing.
Mark, as they're talking about it afterwards,
Mark's like, hey, man, it could have been wonderful.
Yeah, he says, let's meet and it could have been wonderful. And I'm like, that's great.
You should have just tried it.
Right. And then we find out that, of course, Sick Boy became a pimp and a pusher, and he shows up. And the first thing he does is he sells Mark's TV. I'm like, what a douche. And then Sick Boy's like, well, it was a rental anyway. What do you care? It just shows. And then he wants Mark's passport to sell as well. And Mark's like, nope, I am going to hide my passport in a locker. And then they end up having to go back up to Edinburgh because, unfortunately, Tommy died. because he had AIDS and then got toxoplasmosis from the kitten.
So this was another thing that I very much remembered from seeing this the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And something that bothers me this time is they go through the timeline of he got the kitten, he let the kitten poop everywhere, he didn't know that you could get toxoplasmosis from the kitten, and then so he got it, started getting migraines, started shooting up more often to get rid of the migraines,
mm-hmm.
died.
He had a stroke and then he died.
Was dead for weeks. The kitten was fine. But the kitten they showed was very much like only like a 7-8 week old
kitten. It was a very young kitten, yes.
It should have been a cat by that point.
Or at least less kitten-y.
Small nitpick.
It's emaciated.
It was an adorable kitten.
It was such a cute kitten.
Its growth was stunted.
I appreciate that they were like, the kitten was fine. Like, we will kill babies in this movie, but we will not kill kittens.
Well, that's...
I guess I thought they said it, but I guess rewatching it, they didn't say it. But I think the implication was the kitten survived probably off of Tommy.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it might have, yeah.
I feel like I remember them saying that the kitten ate his face or something.
I don't know about
but
that.
But no, they
I would have remembered. They just said he was pretty rotten that. By the time they found him. Also, interestingly enough, they show a dead baby in this movie, but they did not show Tommy's dead body.
Because that's not horrible.
They showed his feet.
They showed his feet.
Yeah.
Well, they figured, like...
But you got the visual of the blue dead feet with the little kitten there. Yes.
Oh, still a great visual. Yeah. And then we get into the third phase of this movie, which is this... The crime caper. Fucking idiots. So, they get Russian sailor smack. A bunch of it. They're like, hey, you've got $2,000. He's like, no, I don't. And they're like, oh, I've seen your bank statements.
You have $2,152 or whatever it was.
And so they get...
And this is why I don't have my bank statements mailed.
Right. They get these kilos of cocaine, and they're taking them back via bus.
Well, at that time, you really didn't have a choice.
You had.
Even before they took them home back via bus, they're like, well, we got to make sure it's good. And what do? They make the guy who's gotten clean and figured out his life fucking dose himself.
Because, but here's the thing, is Mark, like you said, he's so easily influenced. He does it. He's, as a narrator, saying, a bunch of idiots and Begbie are running this heist. We're all going to get arrested. Yeah. This is not going to go well.
Yeah, and
I know
still
it.
Doing
and I'm
it
still going to do it.
Because he's beholden to his friends. His friends. Who decide to get him high just to make sure the drugs are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he has to get high again in the bus on the way back, which he's like, this is my final hit. And he goes, there's final hits
and then
final
there's final
hits.
Hits.
He's like, I'm not sure which one this is yet.
Yeah. Which one would this be?
Right.
I like how he plays it like we're playing Q.
Right.
Which one will this be?
So then we get the scene with the trade of the drugs for the money. And I'm like, is this going to be a bust? Are they going to get killed? What's going on? Somehow they get through that unscathed with a bunch of money.
But that's why I like how it's this very high stakes thing, and they're treating it like they're going into some high security something, and it's going to be a heist of some kind.
Right.
And it is the most like cordial and uneventful drug deal. I wouldn't say
cordial because Begbie's just sitting there running his mouth the whole fucking
time.
Yeah,
but the guy who I think is actually Irvine Welsh, the author.
Oh, interesting.
Like, that guy just, he pays Begbie no mind.
Yeah.
He's like,
fuck off. I don't care.
And he already knows, I mean, he cut his nuts off. He cuts Begbie's nuts off in front of him.
Yeah.
Like, trying to barter with him. And he's like, you do realize, basically, like, just that air of, I could walk away from you small-time idiots anytime I want.
Right.
And you're not going to find anybody.
If you want the money, it's there.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Do you want it now or do you want to try to find somebody
else? I also want to point out that they decide to stay in the hotel room that they did the drug deal in. I'm like, that's
none of them are smart.
So they get this cash and I'm like, they just got a shit ton of money. What could go wrong?
Right.
And of course, what goes wrong is Begbie. They're at the bar. We have this moment where
it's on a shirt.
Where Sick Boy goes to the bathroom and Begbie goes to get more beers, and Mark just turns to Spud and is like, hey, you just want to leave with his money? And Spud's like, and then of course time runs out. Sick Boy comes back, and Sick Boy's like, "Oh, I would have left with the money." And then we get Begbie with the beers bumping into a guy and spilling a little bit of beer. It wasn't even like a whole glass, and immediately you're like, "Oh no, dude, you're still wanted for your armed robbery, and you've got drug money sitting on the table over there, and you want to get into a bar fight."
And he wants to get into a bar fight.
He brutalizes that guy.
Yep. When the guy wasn't even, he was just like, whatever, man.
He was trying not to get into a fight. He's like, no, I'll buy you beer. I'm sorry, whatever. But what a fucking psychopath.
Yup.
And then we get, they go back to the hotel, and Mark, while they're sleeping, decides to get a drink of water first, which I'm like, if you're sneaking out and you put your shoes on, don't turn the faucet on and make more noise.
Did we not mention that none of these people are intelligent?
Mark has some semblance of intelligence, but
I think that was more for the, he splashes in his face too. No?
Yeah.
So I think this is like the time to sober up.
I get that, but at the same time, he knows what he's about to do.
And he's also washing his hands of his friends.
That's fair. And of course,
I have to explain filmmaking to you.
Yes, please. I know nothing of anything. Okay, I appreciate your insight in all of this. Great one.
I never said all that.
So then we get the shot of him as he's leaving the door, and he turns around and sees Spud is looking right at him. And I'm like, oh, man, Spud.
What's Spud going to do, really, though?
Right. It's Spud. Well, I feel bad because Spud deserves something because he's not a bad person. And we find out later that he gets something. But at the moment, you're like, And my whole thought for this is, like, with Mark leaving with all the money, I'm like, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
These people have treated him like shit. They're fucking assholes. They don't deserve any of it.
They've all demonstrated, well, except for Spud again.
Yeah, except for Spud.
Like, the Sick Boy and Begbie have already made it clear that they would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're either going to be the one victimizing them or you're going to get victimized.
Right. And to be fair, it was his money that ended up buying the drugs.
True.
It was his house that they took advantage of in London when they were...
His fucking telly they sold.
Yeah, exactly. So then we get the start of the closing credits, and then we see like the shot of Spud opening the locker and the money being there, which is, I'm like, okay, at least Spud gets something. And that's Trainspotting.
And that's Trainspotting.
Is that how we're going to
The movie about this? Almost nothing except drugs and chaos. But
it's about friendship and how toxic he can be.
No, I see it as it's a cautionary tale. But there's
drugs are bad and kind.
Yeah,
that was a prevalent thing in right. Scotland, and it's a commentary on that. Obviously, they're enjoying themselves, and you don't maybe get. There are, I think, four books about these characters.
Are there?
So, mm-hmm. And one's a prequel. So,
and they're written phonetically.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be hard to read.
Not once you get
it out.
Sure.
I feel like if you sound it out.
I've read some pretty tough to read.
It's
books
almost
like
it's almost like singing it.
My friend Martin. Scottish, and back when we were all in college,
who's Martin Scottish?
Yeah, and back when we were all in college, texting wasn't really a thing, so in that it literally didn't exist for the most part. But so we would all email each other, and like we'd be checking our emails and what, because there was like not a lot of instant messaging at that time either. So if we were not together, we would all be emailing each other, and you could always tell when Martin would start to get plastered because his emails would start to be typed phonetically with his Scottish accent. And it was the funniest thing.
I also want to mention,
I've never heard of drunk typing affects.
He did it.
I also forgot to mention that at the end we get the mirror of the opening monologue where it's Mark talking about all those things he was talking about before and talking about them as, you know, having an actual life.
Yeah, because by shedding himself of all of his bad influences.
Right. Except for he's probably still fucking Diane.
I think she's a great influence.
Well, she's underage, though.
She's underage, but she's also the singular good influence in his life.
Fair enough. So, final thoughts. I know, Dave, you thought maybe I didn't enjoy this movie because...
Yeah, I mean, well, only from our messaging right. earlier, where you're like, so well, I watched it.
I watched the movie.
I was being cryptic. I actually really enjoyed this movie. Okay. I think it did a good job of staying cohesive through a pretty harsh tone shift. Like, it didn't feel like it took... Like, when it got heavy, it didn't feel like it took me out of the movie.
Because I think it's a series of so many jarring things mm-hmm. that... At a certain point, it's almost expected that that things are going to completely go into upheaval. Right.
And yeah, my other notes are just really great visuals, music, and practical effects. Why is Danny Boyle so obsessed with feces? I do think my only real criticism is I think once we get into the crime part of it at the end, it feels like the movie loses just a little bit of energy.
Yeah, I do think it struggles for yeah. And almost like a reason to give Mark a clean out.
Right. I think that's my only criticism of it. Other than that, I really enjoyed it. I think the acting was fun and good and the energy was great. And, you know, I like Danny Boyle as a director from the things that I've seen of his, at least. And, yeah, I didn't have trouble understanding the characters. And yeah, somehow it made, you know, the first half of the movie made heroin fun and funny.
Well, that's the thing. There's a weird charm to it, even though, like, because some, like, especially Renton has, like, well, they all have weird things about them mm-hmm. that are, like, horrible yet kind of endearing. And
until they're, like, not endearing anymore.
Right.
Yes.
And
I mean, they're just your run-of-the-mill dipshits. None of them are intentional. Well, except Begbie. None of them are, like, intentionally shitheads.
I think Sick Boy, I think, is a sociopath.
Yeah, I think Begbie is a psychopath and Sick Boy is a sociopath.
Yeah.
And honestly, Mother Superior is fucked up, too. Just in the sense that it's very clear that he just wants people to be stuck on heroin.
Well, he sells heroin.
Yes, I know, but he's also a junkie.
You know, until this exact moment, I completely forgot who Mother Superior even was.
Fair enough.
Now I remember.
Yeah, that greasy guy.
No, I get it now. But when you said Mother Superior, I was thinking of church, and I was like, did I go to the bathroom? Anyway, whatever.
Well, weird, because I was watching The Boys today, so I think of Mother Superior, and I think of a black man who no longer has a mustache.
Oh.
Interesting. Any other final thoughts from people before we go into our preordained segments here?
Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad.
I mean, I chose this because I remember how it was when I saw it originally. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I had never really, outside of Real Wild Child, I admittedly did not know very much about Iggy Pop.
Wild Child.
And I only knew that because of Problem Child.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Like, that song in the visual, like, that opening sequence was this entry into, like, it might have been the first indie film I actually saw in the theater. But it was like, oh, just a whole different arena of filmmaking that I hadn't really seen before. Like, because, you know, you see, like, early Robert Rodriguez, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right, well, you can tell that it's very low budget and but this, it's so slick, but also grungy as fuck. And like, it's like they took the Sam Raimi DIY, but made it like, I don't know, did something.
Polished it up. Somehow. Yeah. I think what's interesting is you mentioned indie, and like this movie, even though I hadn't seen it until now, totally, like, is the epitome of that late 90s, early 2000s indie scene that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was eating up indie films right out of high school. I was just watching indie films left and right. And so maybe that's part of the reason, like, I like this movie.
Well, that's why
this very much feels like
this. It came at the right time for me.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, so with that, and then, well, I mean, most of what I watch is still indie film to this day, because
mainstream stuff is disappointing.
It's just I've seen it. And
well,
and
we're definitely at a phase right now in filmmaking that the mainstream stuff is a lot about comfort.
Yeah, and I want that envelope pushing again, and that's what this did. Like, it didn't shy away from showing you horrible shit,
like a baby on a ceiling.
I mean, it just the ugliness of heroin, where like. Mm-hmm. And like, why shy away from
it? But without being overly dramatic about it.
No, but
like, it was very matter of fact in its presentation.
This is a PSA.
It was never preachy or anything. It's just like, hey, sometimes it's fun, guys, but also this shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like, and obviously we are getting it as, you know, Mark is the narrator of this film, the idea of we're one of these people in this film. Like, we get that feel of first person in that. Whereas, as a lot of times when it comes to movies that have heavy drug use, it's like from the outsider perspective.
Wouldn't surprise me if there was some stat for that, for Edinburgh to have like a 1 in 5 person is like has a heroin problem.
Is a smackhead at this point in time?
Yeah, like maybe just for like during a short period of time or something.
It's
like
definitely
that.
Possible.
I don't know. It's probably. I mean, that seems like a really severe number, but.
Yeah, it is a pretty severe 1 in 5 is pretty
that's
pretty
a
bad.
Lot.
But also,
I've been to Edinburgh. It didn't seem
but
scary.
But also, no, it's probably not. I'm probably just. Guessing.
Did you go to the bathroom during the Fringe and get jumped by a bunch of?
You know, I've never been during Fringe, but I have used multiple bathrooms in Edinburgh.
Did you climb all the way into the toilet?
No, but I thought I might have to because I also got food poisoning.
Were there suppositories in there?
No. Oh.
So let's move into our first segment for this movie, which is favorite weirdo. I don't know.
I like how we're calling these segments. Like, it's literally a question.
It is, but it's like something we do every film.
Okay.
Favorite weirdo.
This is a tough one for me, I think.
Weirdly sentimentally, I see. It's weird to say, like, because you can't really say Renton. He's the most normal person. Other than Tommy.
Also, he's the main character. It's a little boring.
Exactly.
To pick the main
that would be like if we watched, you know, Edward Scissorhands.
And you picked Edward Scissorhands.
Like, my favorite weirdo. No, my favorite weirdo is Vincent Price. Fuck off.
My favorite weirdo is Beetlejuice.
That was going to be the second
see,
one.
See, he's one of them that's actually on screen like less than 10 minutes.
In the movie?
Mm-hmm.
You know
the
what,
original
though?
Movie, anyway.
He owns it. He owns that 10
he's
minutes.
He's definitely in there probably about like a third.
Yeah.
But even then, to call your whole...
I've literally read that it's like, I don't remember the exact time, but it's like less than 10 minutes. He's
doesn't
actually
matter.
On
he
screen.
He owns that movie.
Yes, that's the whole point of what I'm saying.
Anyway, let's get back to our favorite weirdos for this movie. I'm still deciding, so...
This might be one where I finally just don't have an answer, because it's like... For the like the one that's most fun to imitate is Begbie.
But okay. to be a favorite?
That's a hard thing to say. That'd be like saying, I don't know, who's my favorite serial killer? I don't have a favorite.
So I'm kind of leaning, I think the weirdos of this movie are the ones that aren't weird. Because everyone else is so fucked up. So it's almost like your favorite normie in this sense.
Yeah,
for me.
Like if Bill Nighy would have been in this movie, I would have chosen him.
Sorry, Philip. I just rewatched that the other night, and I'm like, I love this movie.
God. Who the hell's normal? You don't really...
I mean, Diane's kind of
normal.
The baby's normal until it dies and then goes up on the ceiling. The kitten is normal. I would say Mark's parents are fairly normal.
Yeah. They're not perfect, but they're normal.
Yeah.
Look, while you guys are thinking, I'm just going to say it. My favorite is Ceiling Baby.
See, I'm torn between Ceiling Baby and the kitten. And since you took Ceiling Baby,
I'm
going to go with
the kitten. But I was like, nah, Ceiling Baby, because.
How can you really call in a hallucination a character?
Those Ceiling Baby and kitten are two of the things. I haven't seen this movie in like 20 years.
They stick out.
Are two of the things that I remembered most about this movie. But Ceiling Baby specifically, like, yeah. I didn't remember exactly what Kitten looked like, but I remembered Ceiling Baby.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going with the Kitten because you didn't, and so I'm going to go with that. Probably ate Tommy.
I think it did.
I'm going to go with the guy with the fro in the bar that steps to Begbie, and he's like. And, you know, he's trying to apologize.
The guy that gets destroyed?
Yeah.
Wow. Fair enough.
Because he's like, oh, well, just, I was trying to, fuck you.
Oh, man.
He made the mistake of showing any kindness because it doesn't do you any good.
No, Begbie had already decided he was going to get into a fight. All right, so then I think the only thing left is rating this film.
Wow, that segment flew right by.
Yeah, big segment. You know what? It was at least 5 minutes. That's a segment.
Mostly just because of Dave's ham-hawing.
Ham-haw! Ham-house.
I fucking hate you.
Okay, so who's starting?
I guess I'll go since I hadn't seen it before. I'm giving it 9.
Wow.
9 butterscotches.
Butterscotches.
Okay. Out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I think other than the slight energy loss towards the end, I think it was a really well put together movie. I really enjoyed it. It hit me the right way. Yeah. That's, I guess, all I got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs.
So... I think the movie was well done. It is very much a boy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a movie that I've literally watched twice in my life because the men in my life have been like, let's watch this movie. and I will never choose to put it on my own. It's never going to be a movie. I'm like, Trainspotting. I'll put that on and watch it.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to give it a 7.5 for being well-made movie that I'm not all that interested in.
See, I don't. My ratings are never about rewatchability because I think a movie can be great and you can go, I never want to watch this.
No,
again.
I can't pick any off the top of my head, but I know I've said that.
Right.
Where I was like, this is an amazing achievement. Oh, I think, what was that, Alfonso Cuarón, Roma?
Oh, I haven't seen Roma.
Well, here's the difference.
But
in,
I'm like, hey, it's a good
I recognize
really good
it's
movie,
an amazing never, movie that I never need to see again versus. Mm-hmm. I think it's well done. I'm not interested enough to see it
Fair
again.
Enough.
Rather than. This hit me so hard emotionally or whatever that I don't ever want to watch it again.
Fair enough. I understand.
7.5. I'm going to go with...
I already took butterscotches, so...
No, I'm going to go with bubble tape because you can wrap it around your arm.
Wow. Wow.
You're welcome.
I'm also going to go 9. Good and plenties, but only the white ones.
Wow.
We're really stretching on some of these candy choices.
What are you talking about? Mine was perfect.
Those suppositories?
Yeah.
So 2 9s and a 7.5.
Yep.
This is going to get a pretty good
average score.
I told you this
was
score.
A boy movie. So.
It is a boy movie. It's a boy That's, movie, I totally sure. recognize that.
No, well, but we might be looking at a new Clubhouse leader.
I don't know about the 7.5 might pull it out of the lead.
Yeah, because she just wants to tank everything that's not hers.
Well, we'll see.
I didn't pick Up, and that movie's amazing and probably has my highest score.
I think Up is our highest rated overall right now, which I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's a great freaking movie.
We've seen some great movies, but I think, yeah, Up is near perfect in a lot of ways. So we're going to move on to the next movie, which is my choice.
Oh, God.
Benji Come Home.
So
I watched all the Benji movies.
Oh, I did
kid.
Too.
I really struggled to decide what I wanted to watch. Part of it was we've been on kind of a downward kick of energy, and I wanted something a little bit more either fun or uplifting. Then I watched half of the first half of this movie, and I was like, oh, this is funny.
This is fun.
I'm like,
oh,
even yeah. though, you know, even though you pass out there, you know, with heroin, it's like that everything, the movie starts with an adrenaline
right.
pump.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wanted something a little bit more lighthearted. And so I decided to go with the second best film to star Cary Elwes.
Are we watching I just watched Saw last night.
No, no, no. Are second best film.
Robin Anybody? Hood Men in Tights?
No, that's the first, the best film he's ever done.
What?
No.
Anybody want a peanut? We are watching The Princess Bride.
Best film he's ever done.
Come on, Dave.
I actually just watched The Princess Bride not that long ago.
This is definitely...
Look, it's got sword fights. It's got Wallace Shawn. It's got Andre the Giant.
Hey, get to the part where something I might want to see.
You don't like Andre the Giant?
He was boring.
Or Carrie Elway?
Andre was boring.
Billy Crystal?
Oh my God, are you trying to like...
How do you feel about Robin Wright Penn? Do you hate her too? Or she's just Robin Wright.
She's but... Peter Falk? She's you like fine. Peter Falk?
I don't really care about Peter Falk.
The Savage?
Mandy Patinkin.
Ooh, Mandy Patinkin. Fred Savage.
Did you say Sir Fred Savage?
No, I said the Fred Savage.
And what's his face? Fred Savage's grandpa.
I said Peter Falk.
Peter Falk, okay.
I don't care about any of this.
Well, you're going to watch it anyway.
No, y'all have made me watch some shitty-ass movies, and this one's actually good.
This is a good movie. It's lighthearted, it's fun, it's whimsical.
Dave, you made me watch David Lynch.
And just way past made you a better interpreter of film as a result.
Would rather I picked Over the Top? Which was one of the options.
Which is weird.
Like, I would not have. I do not want to watch that movie.
To be fair, I don't want to watch that movie either. But I've seen it, and it's the master blaster, you know.
I really pored over our list to figure out what to do with this one because I thought about going like older, like Casablanca or something like that because we haven't really gone too far into the past. I think the oldest film we've watched is It's a Wonderful Life,
which is what we started with.
Which was
our
first movie, but we haven't really gone back that way at all.
We realized the mistake we made.
No, I liked It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, and then we went,
Strange Love was the second oldest we've watched.
We've watched two black and white. Nick picks lots of black and whites, actually.
Yeah. I also thought about maybe this is the time for Kurosawa, but I didn't feel like that was quite right. So, yeah, I wanted something lighthearted and generally universally liked, other than from Dave, who has not seen it.
Look, I haven't seen E.T. either, but I know what I don't want to watch.
There were some Spielberg films that I almost picked as well. Ugh. But didn't feel like it was the right time. Feels like the time for Princess Bride, and so that's what we're going to go with. So thank you so much for listening on our episode on Trainspotting. Next time will be Princess Bride. If you have any thoughts or comments or criticisms or are like Dave and want to cry about The Princess Bride.
Well, I'm just looking where I can actually watch it because if I have to pay for it, I'm going to be really...
Well, it's on Disney and Hulu.
Hector owns it, so...
There you go.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you have any suggestions as well as, like Dave mentioned, for films to watch, let us know. You can comment or message us on Facebook at Films Like the First Time or email us at memoriamdevelopment@gmail.com. In some time we will be talking about The Princess Bride.
Our schedules are weird.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Nick.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Dave.
Bye.
I'm Carol.